Electronic cigarettes have been around for more than a decade. They allow users to inhale a puff of vaporized nicotine and flavoring instead of smoking. There's no doubt these products are safer than cigarettes if you already smoke. But safe? Not really. And what a person believes about the risks of vaping versus smoking depends on their worldview of authority. That's the gist of a Georgia State University report. Its findings are part of a larger project to help support tobacco regulation with science. I spoke to Michael Erickson about that research. He's the dean of the School of Public Health at Georgia State. What is the extent of what we know about public perception? In other words, we know that the public is very skeptical of e-cigarettes because of your research, but do we know why?
We didn't ask why, per se, but we have an idea that they're getting really conflicted messages from the media and from scientists on either side of the e-cigarette issue, and it's no wonder they're either confused or they think that they're as harmful as cigarettes, and that's just not the right perception. In fact, it's a misperception. But it is a complicated issue because for smokers, there's no question that e-cigarettes are less harmful than smoking. But there are other issues associated with the product. It's not safe, but it's less harmful. And communicating that is a difficult public education mission.
So also with us is Dr. Kristen Higgins, assistant professor at the Department of Radiation Oncology at Emory University's Winship Cancer Institute. Hi, Kristen.
Hello.
So this is a common complaint about medicine, right? That the message is confusing, that people don't know what the bottom line is. Do we have a bottom line on e-cigarettes?
Well, yes, I think we can say that we do. E-cigarettes have been in the U.S. markets since around 2007. They haven't been rigorously evaluated in terms of longitudinal clinical trials where we can really assess what the long-term effects of these e-cigarettes could be.
You said longitudinal studies, but does that mean how many years are we talking in order to qualify as longitudinal?
Well, I mean, I think that we need many years because the, you know, a cigarette or a e-cigarette causing a cancer could take many, many years.
They've been available.
Exactly. More than 1 or 2 years. We can test the acute side effects of e-cigarettes in users, but in terms of the risk of developing cancer down the road, you know, COPD, long-term pulmonary side effects, we're not going to know that for many years until these rigorous scientific studies have been performed.
Okay, so let me bring that back to you, meaning that right now it feels like what I understand is that e-cigarettes aren't healthy, but they're healthier than a cigarette. But it sounds like Kristen is saying we don't actually know that for sure when it comes to causing cancer.
I think that most people would agree that what you said, that e-cigarettes are not safe, but they're better than smoking, people would agree with. Because for the sole reason that cigarettes are so toxic and so deadly, 1 out of 2 lifetime smokers will die as a result of smoking.
So it sounds like the reason that you had cause for concern, and again, we're talking about this study from Georgia State University that shows the public thinks e-cigarettes are as deadly as cigarettes.
Right.
It sounds like you're concerned about that because you don't want to dissuade smokers from giving up an actual burning, smoking cigarette.
That's right. If we can get smokers to give up a burning cigarette, a combusted cigarette, and try an electronic cigarette, that would clearly be a step in the right direction of improving their health. And I think everybody would agree with that. But that's not saying that these e-cigarettes are safe. It's just that they're safer than continued smoking.
So, Kristen, what are your concerns about the way that e-cigarettes have been marketed?
My concern is that our youth is going to think that these are a safe alternative to, you know, the classic cigarette, and they're going to start using them, you know, to get a nicotine fix, and eventually that will lead to tobacco use.
Oh, you think that it might be a gateway drug is probably a little bit overused, but that it might lead to actual tobacco use.
I think that is a worry, yes.
But are you concerned about the carcinogens or the possible development of cancer from e-cigarettes? Because the e-cigarettes aren't burning anything. There's no smoke.
Yes. Well, I think that the important thing is that we can't make assumptions. We really need to perform, you know, studies and look at rates of cancer development down the road in e-cigarette users. It's really, I think that they probably, yes, are safer than a typical combustible cigarette, but we don't want to assume anything, and we don't want to give that message to the public that we can assume that their cancer risk is going to be negligible if they use this. It needs to be studied in a rigorous fashion.
Yeah, the problem is that there are 40 million Americans who continue to smoke today.
Which
astounds me that there are that many people who do. I mean, smoking rates are at an all-time low, but still 40 million people continue to smoke. And for those 40 million, we really can't wait decades to get the answer on e-cigarettes. We need to get them to stop smoking with whatever means possible. I used to smoke. I quit cold turkey, and most people quit cold turkey. But that's not the only way to do it. There's approved drugs.
And it's also really hard to do that without starting to use them again. Quit cold turkey, I mean.
Well, most smokers, in terms of smoking, there are more ex-smokers in the United States today than current smokers. So 53 million Americans have quit smoking. 40 million continue to smoke. So quitting smoking is doable, and most people who've ever smoked have quit. But still there are 40 million who continue. Most people who quit cold turkey. They just quit on their own. Some use pharmaceuticals, some use other means. And I think what we want to do is to get people to quit with however possible. And if that includes e-cigarettes, that's okay.
We're talking about threading a needle here, and this seems to be the problem, Kristen, because you're talking about you don't want people to just take up e-cigarettes either to just use them because they think they're safe or to use them and that eventually leads to tobacco use. He's talking about trying to get people
quit. It's two different populations, two distinct populations. You know, I see patients with lung cancer in my clinic every day, and I counsel them on the importance of tobacco cessation, and we talk about what they've tried, what sort of nicotine replacement tools have they used, and we do talk about e-cigarettes, and they work for some people as a tool to stop smoking, and the message becomes
very... Do you encounter this perception that people have that they're just as bad as cigarettes?
Yes, I think that there is some confusion amongst the general public. Yes, I do encounter that perception.
So how do we thread this needle between making smokers know that e-cigarettes are safer and letting everybody else who's maybe not using or thinking about using know that they're not safe?
Well, I think one important thing is that within the medical community, primary care physicians and, you know, all of the medical community really needs to stay abreast of the current literature that's coming out about e-cigarettes, because there is a lot of new literature that's being published every day, and we really need to stay on top of it so we can convey the appropriate message to our patients. I think it needs to be an individual message. It needs to be individualized to the patient that's sitting in front of you in your office. What is their problem? You know, do they have a lung cancer? Do they need to stop smoking today? You know, and the message is going to be different depending on the individual patient scenario.
I think the needle isn't that difficult to thread. I think that the message for smokers is first quit immediately, because there's nothing better you could do for your health than quitting. Secondly, if you tried other methods and they haven't worked, try e-cigarettes and see if they can help you. They can give you the nicotine that you're addicted to, and you could ideally stop e-cigarettes as well. But stopping combustion is number one. The other part of the message is that there's no role for nicotine, either cigarettes or e-cigarettes, for kids. And that is not acceptable. We know it damages the brain. Nicotine increases craving for other drugs in the adolescent brain. And the third part of the message is that, unfortunately, most people who try e-cigarettes continue to smoke at the same time.
Right, cigarettes.
Right. So we have what's called dual use. So they're smoking when they can and using e-cigarettes when they can't, and that's not the answer either. So it has to be moving from smoking to possibly using e-cigarettes, exclusive use of e-cigarettes, but get rid of the smoking and keep it away from kids.
But Kristen, to a certain extent, when I went and looked up e-cigarettes and I went through Google Images, mm-hmm. I kind of see what you're saying, because they bejewel them. They make them very... The e-cigarettes are really pretty and shiny, and they put rhinestones on them.
The flavors appeal to, I think, the younger generation, certainly, too.
Right, and they make them with all these flavors. There's even a pumpkin spice flavored e-cigarette that I saw when I was looking through. So there is this problem. I'm talking to two doctors, but you guys are not marketing.
Right.
for e-cigarettes and using this message of safer but not safe, that doesn't sell well.
Well, exactly. And I think the message that is being marketed to youth is not the message that we want. That's the problem. That's where there's a problem. And that's, you know, right now is really a critical time because we need to make sure that we're really keeping our youth safe from this conflicting message.
Does that need to be regulated in the way that we regulate smoking ads for cigarettes, which are fairly highly regulated?
On the regulation side around marketing, in your lifetime, you've never seen a cigarette ad on television. They were banned in 1971. I'm assuming how old you
That's,
are.
Yeah.
Okay. So
pretty
okay,
much.
So
yep.
Stop there.
yeah.
So, but now e-cigarettes. Today, you can turn on many stations and see advertisements for e-cigarettes on television, elsewhere. There's no restrictions currently in the United States for advertising e-cigarettes. So that's an area that needs to be regulated and not necessarily banned, but it needs to be done in a factual, informative way so that smokers can make the proper decisions to whether to use the product or not.
How do we solve, because some of this is just translation, right? Some of it is just message. How do we get the knowledge of doctors to the public in a way where it's not confusing or conflicting?
Well, let me start with that. And at Georgia State, we have one of the 14 grants that FDA has funded to provide the research to inform the public about tobacco and tobacco regulation and electronic products. And the study that we did, we do annual surveys understanding how the public feels about e-cigarettes and what they think and what they know and who they trust. That type of information needs to be used to communicate to smokers clearly what we know and what we don't know, and that help them make an informed decision. Same with kids. We need to clearly communicate to kids that these products are not safe for them. If they've never smoked, they should stay away from these. The problem, as you said, though, is they're marketed in such a way
right.
that they're glamorous, attractive. They look like Apple products. They have flavors.
They do.
And people can use other drugs in them. So it gets to be very complicated. But communication, public education communication, hasn't been done well and is key to really moving us forward in this issue.
In the minute that we have left, Kristen, how can we improve the way where you get that information out that might counteract the marketing?
Well, I think even within the medical community, doctors can educate their patients. I encourage patients to, when they're seeing their physician on their yearly checkup, ask about e-cigarettes, ask what their doctor's perceptions may be. You know, ask advice, you know, from your pediatrician. How should I talk to my kids about these so that they understand that they are, you know, potentially dangerous and it shouldn't be a habit that they're picking up and things like that. So I encourage people to communicate with their healthcare providers and ask them for advice on how to, you know, address the issue with their children and with other smokers that they know.
That's Kristen Higgins from Emory's Winship Cancer Institute and Michael Erickson, Dean of Georgia State's School of Public Health. He's a lead researcher on a new study about how people perceive the risks of vaping.